This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Mark chapter 8. Can someone read from verse 1 to verse 10? Yes, Mark chapter 8. That will be on, in these Bibles, it will be on page 1565. I'm going to be super short, I promise. While everyone finds it, I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you again for an opportunity for us to gather here, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for being, for your presence with us. Thank you for touching our hearts, Lord. Father, we pray that you give us ears to hear, Lord, and hearts, Lord, that can be moved and understand, God. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sonny, you mind reading it? Oh, verses 1 through 10. 1 through 10.
In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they answered, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Immediately got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha.
Okay, thank you. Someone else read it again. With a different translation, because I like those who are following to.
Got it, Albert?
Yeah. We're gonna read it one more time.
During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples and set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha.
Okay, thank you. I'm just going to say a few things about, you've heard this passage before, it's a very common one. Jesus multiplied bread and fish and fed people. But I want to talk about the heart of God, the heart of Christ, and the way that he meets our needs, right? So This is an instance where there's 4,000 people, and I think they counted only the men. And these people needed, Jesus fed them, he multiplied bread and gave it to them, and everybody ate. But it is interesting that they never asked Jesus, give us food to eat, give us bread, right? This was there were miracles when someone came to Jesus, they please, I need this, please touch my son, my child is sick, they're going to die, please heal them. And Jesus would do that kind of thing for them. This is one thing where no one asked Jesus a thing. They came to him, and listen, they were with Jesus 3 days. What do we learn from that? God knows our needs. If you come to him, you make the time, you spend time with him, God will make sure that he takes care of your need. There is something about the heart of God that is moved by people who make a sacrifice to get to him, right? He said that these people came to him and they spent 3 days. In those 3 days that they were there, they came there for Jesus. They came there for him, right? And when they came there, Jesus didn't promise them he'd give them food, right? They came there to hear his word, to listen. And by the way, you know, we often talk about, you know, sometimes churches go on retreat, and sometimes, you know, we churches go somewhere in the country. This was a 3-day retreat with Jesus himself. And as people took the time to listen to him, to give him their time, he said that some of them traveled from a distance. They put in the sacrifice to come and listen to him. Jesus, on his own, sat down and was like, you know what? These people need some food, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm trying to say very simply that if you make God your priority, God will meet your need, right? There's no person who can really say, God, I sought the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and I sought that first. I have really invested in my walk with God, and God has acted like he doesn't care about my needs. That is not true. It is impossible. There is a reason why Jesus multiplied the bread for these people. You see, some people say that God just does something because it's his will and it's his compassion for us. Some people say, well, it is because we sought him and that's why he did it for us. And like a lot of things, Christians in the church, Christians tend to take one side or the other, right? The answer is that it's both. The Bible said that Jesus looked at the people, he had compassion on them. And that's why he wanted to meet their need. But he himself recognizes that they had been with him for 3 days. So it was both. The people put in 3 days, Jesus put in the compassion. Both were true, right? Jesus could have had compassion on those people. But those who came there and said, oh, it's been 2 hours, it's not done preaching yet, I'm going home. They never partook of the food. Jesus had compassion on those two, but he didn't do anything for them. And it is not just that people came there and were there for 3 days and then Jesus multiplied bread for them. It was both. There's the compassion of God, but I will tell you that the compassion of God often meets and is manifested to those who give him room to manifest that compassion. Okay? God said to Moses, I will have compassion on those to whom I will have compassion. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said that to a man who voluntarily had gone to spend 40 days on the mountain to pray for other people. Everything, you have to look at it in its context. And when you look at it in its context, you'll see that God shows his compassion and his mercy. Yes, it's true, but he shows it to people who make the time for him. Another passage that is often pointed to is that people say that there were two brothers in the Bible. It was Jacob and Esau. The Bible says that God says, Esau I hated and Jacob I loved, right? It says that in the book of Romans. But that's a quote from the Old Testament. You go to the Old Testament, to the book of Zechariah, and you look at where that's quoted from. You'll see that the context is God telling his people that you have treated my things carelessly. You have treated my sanctuary careless. That's what the whole book is about. You have treated my sanctuary carelessly. And God said, let me give you an example. Jacob and Esau. What did Esau do? He despised his birthright, treated it lightly. So yes, it's true. God made plans for the people. God favored Jacob. But the truth is also that one despised the sacred things. One despised the godly things, and the other did not. Right? That's just the reality of the reality of it. You will never find someone who sought after God, wanted godliness, wanted to do the right thing, sought after God, and God said no. You just want to just I hate that one. There's nothing like that in the Word of God. These people spent 3 days with Jesus. They gave him his time. They gave him their time. And Jesus showered his compassion upon them. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. It was not that they deserved it, but they did provide him with an opportunity to show his compassion on them. In a way, that was only given to those who had stayed there for 3 days. Even those who were there for 2 days and left didn't get it. Those who stayed until Jesus had completed to say everything that he had to say for those 3 days, those people got something from him. So that's the first thing. So I want to say to you, often in life we think we have this attitude that, oh, I got to go and yank something out of, I need this thing, but I need to go and yank it out of God's hands because God is so ungenerous, he's so hard, he's not going to give it to me. No, it's not like that. Jesus knew what the needs of these people were. He knew that they were hungry. And he took the initiative to go out and meet their need. The second thing that I want to say is that the people didn't ask Jesus for food because they thought they could make it on their own. But Jesus clearly says here that if I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them came from a distance. Jesus knew what their real needs were. Now, I don't know, it's hard for me to explain this clearly, but there is a sense in which we often don't know what our real needs are, right? These people are there with Jesus. I don't know what they were asking him. But no one asked him, said, Lord, I'm going home. I don't think I'm going to make it to my house. And there's no place here to get food. Can you give me something? No one asked. They all assumed they could go home fine. But Jesus knew better. He said, if these people go, some of them won't even get home. They'll collapse on the way. So Jesus multiplied this bread because there was a real need there, right? It wasn't like he was giving them food just to show off that he could multiply. Right? These people really needed it. At that moment, above everything, that is what these people needed. And I want to say to you, I don't know what you've been asking God and what is it that you're expecting God to do for you, right? But let me tell you that if you're someone who's been giving God your time, who's been taking him seriously, probably the things that you really need, God has already given them to you. Probably the things you need most right now, God has taken the initiative to give them to you. When the time comes for you to need other things, he will most likely take the initiative and do those things for you. But you know, I'm trying to say that oftentimes we don't realize that our most important thing, I don't know how much these people valued the food that Jesus gave to them that day, right? I don't know whether everyone who took it as, boy, this is something that if I didn't have this, I'm going to collapse on my way home. I don't know if everyone took it like that, but it really was like that, right? God knows what we really need, and oftentimes we don't know. We ask God for things that we think we need, but the reality is that often our real need, it is only God who really knows them. And if we actually took the time, if someone took the time and went to Jesus and said, Lord, what do I really need right now? Jesus would have told them, as you stand here right now, your biggest need is that you need some food, because if you go home, you're going to collapse. I also want to say that this was a very earthly type of need that Jesus met for them. He did not give them, it was not something super spiritual. It was not even an amazing healing or something like that. The miraculous thing about this was the multiplication. But the thing that Jesus was giving them, bread and fish, was a common thing, right? This was a very down-to-earth, simple need that people needed. And God cared for that. Oftentimes, the things that we need the most are some of those things that we take for granted, right? Are some of those things that, you know, you'll see people complaining. They complain about, my husband is like this, my wife is like that, here is, I wish they were like this, I wish they were like that. They don't realize that the way that their spouse is, that's actually whatever strengths that they do have, that's actually the thing that they need the most right now. And people are often, and it often leads to ingratitude, it leads to dissatisfaction, it leads to people asking and searching for things that really they don't need. When the truth is that, especially for those who have been seeking out and taking the time to seek after Him, the truth is that if you took the time to ask yourself before God, what do I really need? You'll find that the things that you're complaining about and wishing for are probably not the things you need right now. Does that make sense? I feel that this is kind of hard to explain. But oftentimes we're dissatisfied. We are complaining. We're looking for other things. We're dissatisfied because there's this other thing that we think we really need right now, and it's not coming. And so we keep asking God for it. We keep waiting for it. And until we get it, we're going to be unhappy. We're going to complain. We're going to be unhappy. And well, the truth is, what we really need right now are the things that God is actually trying to give to provide to us. And either He's already providing it to us and we're ungrateful about it, or He's trying to provide it for us, but we're resisting. We're saying, God, that's not what I need. I need this other thing instead. In the basic things, it's only when we get to heaven that we may realize how much God really cared for the smallest details of our lives, and how he went out of His way to meet what our real needs really were. Okay? So one is that Jesus knew what these people needed. He had compassion on them. He cared for them, and he went out of his way to provide it for them. Now, when He said, when He asked the disciple to provide the food for the people, they were like, where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? In the natural, what these people needed, the food, in the natural, there was no way to provide it, right? There was no way that where they were in the situation in which they were, this thing was going to come. And that is the miraculous part. That is where Jesus steps in, starts with what they had, the little that they had, and Jesus makes something great out of it, okay? So oftentimes, the real needs that you are, God knows them. The real need that you have, God will try to meet them. And when God tries to meet them, there may not be any obvious way in which He's going to do that. I don't know what is it that you need. Maybe you need your family to come back together, right? That's a basic need in my opinion. That is something that a person can have money, can have a lot of sophisticated things, but the truth is, if your relationship with your children is broken, your relationship with your parents is broken, the relationship with your spouse is broken, it doesn't really matter what other achievements you have. It doesn't matter what else has gone well in your life. The truth is, that's a real need that you have. And God knows that. Jesus is aware of that. And God wants to do something about it. And it may look like it's impossible. It may look like there is no way that's going to happen. But that's where we have to have faith and believe that God is going to do a miracle for us. So the things that we need, I don't know what it is for you. You may be a single person, and you're asking God to get married. And God knows that you need that, right? It is a God-given need. God knows you need that. But for the person who takes the time, who gives God their time, who gives Jesus their time, who makes God first, God is aware that you need that. And you may be like, I don't know, where's that going to come from? And when is that going to happen? And it may seem like there's no way. But Jesus is able, in the middle of nowhere in the desert, to produce food for 4,000 people. Okay? Out of almost nothing. And God is able to meet the need. Whether you need, you're in a financial situation, you need a job, you're like, I want to be able to be in a place where I'm working and I'm helping people, or whatever else the need is in your life, and you're like, I don't know how it's going to happen. God knows that. God knows that need. If you're a person who's been giving Jesus your time, you've been seeking after him, he's going to do something about it. Pray, but know that you're praying to someone who has compassion on you and already knows the need that you have. And you may be like, I don't know, where's that going to happen? I have no idea where that's going. I haven't worked in a long time or whatever. God is able to do a miracle. He's able to feed people from almost nothing. Maybe what you need is inner healing. You've been hurt in the past. People have done things to you that were mean and unfair and unkind and unconscionable and inconsiderate. And you know, and you have the scars, and what you need is that basic thing. Maybe what you need is that you're depressed. You just want to be able to sleep at night. You know, I'm realizing that that's a very rare commodity these days. The ability for someone to go to bed at night and sleep like a baby. It's rare. You know, every now and then I meet, you know, Brother Theodore. Sometimes he's told me a couple of times, you've been a Christian for too long, right? Because there are certain things that when I hear, they just surprise me, right? Because to me, it's like, of course there's a God in heaven. Yeah, there are problems, but how can you not be at peace, right? How can you not go to bed at night and rest, right? It's hard for me to relate to that, right? But it's a basic need. It's simple. I went to a hospital yesterday to visit some newborns. They seemed to be sleeping just fine. They were not struggling, right? They didn't seem to be struggling to have some peace, right? And it's the proof that you don't need much, right? to be able to just have you don't need to be very sophisticated to be able to have a peaceful time. It is a need, right? Maybe what you need is healing and joy. You need inner healing. You need peace and rest. Jesus, if you're someone who makes the time for God, if you're someone who can honestly say in your heart, Lord, I have sought after you and I'm seeking after you above all things, I am convinced that person, I don't care what people did to you in the past. I don't care what kind of scars you've been carrying, okay? If you are a person who can honestly say, God, I have sought after you genuinely, God is going to meet that need of yours. And you can not tell yourself, how's that going to happen? You know, I've gone to psychiatrists and psychologists. I've taken pills. No one has been able to help me. I want to tell you one thing. I don't know a person. I do not know a person. I'm not claiming that there may not be one out there. I'm trying to say that of people that I have known personally, I do not know one whom I know for a fact has been seeking after God in a serious way. And God has not set them free from their depressions and anxieties and things like that. I know people who have been on and off. They go to Jesus for a day. After 2 days, they come back. They're on and off with the Lord. They have other priorities. But I want to say that, you know, there is this message. I would have loved to share it with everyone here, but unfortunately, it's in French. There's this minister. He used to be David Wilkerson's translator when you will go preach in French-speaking countries. He's from Canada, Montreal. His father was a violent man. He said his father began to drink. He was a violent man, and he said he will hit, and everything was punching and everything. He'd come home and beat their mother up, and he and his brother will have to go in their room and cower in fear and things like that. And he said that he became a Christian. He himself was into gangs and so on. He later became a Christian. He now leads the largest church in Quebec, in Montreal, where people almost never become Christians. Right? It's like Boston there. And he said that even after he became a Christian, for years afterwards, he would have this dream. He said every night he had this dream that he was in his house, his dad was trying to beat him up, and he would try to lift himself and escape from their house. And then suddenly, just after he thought he had escaped, he fall back down, and then he wake up. He said he had that nightmare every night for a couple of years or so after he became a Christian. He said he had that for several years. And he was ashamed to say that. He won't say that to people, but that's what he was about. And he said he had a hatred and the bitterness for his dad. And he became a Christian. Now he wanted to forgive him, but then he couldn't and so on. And he said that one day he came to the U.S. He's from Canada. He came to the U.S. to do Bible school. He said one night they were having one of these worship services where the Spirit of God is moving and everyone seems to be getting blessed. But he said he was the only one standing there and nothing seems to be happening to him. Nothing seems to be touching him. And he said one day he came to the U.S. to do Bible school. And he said that one day he was in this service and everyone was like, there was this worship meeting and everyone was in the spirit. You know, one of these meetings where when they're saying that God is moving and so on. And then he said, as he was sitting there feeling left out while everyone is being blessed, he said a man came. He said a man he had never seen before, and then a man he has never seen since then. So he doesn't know if this man was an angel or was a man. But he said that the guy came while he was sitting there and everyone is there worshiping. He put his arm around him and he said, "How you doing, young man?" He said he was annoyed that this guy first of all came and put his arm around him. He said, I'm all right. He said, didn't say this a lot. He said, I wish you didn't have your hand or your arm around me, but I'm doing okay. And then he told him, God has sent me here to tell you that everything that your dad did to you, you got to forgive him and let it go. And God is going to heal you and God is going to use you. And he began to prophesy over it. Said the guy, never seen the guy before, never seen his name. No one knew the whole thing about his thingy. And he said that everything that your father, everything that this person has done to you, forgive him. And he said from that day he was delivered from years of that of all that. But you see, this was a man who was seeking after God. This was a man who had gotten saved and had put him 2 years of seeking diligently after God. God delivered him, and he shares other things that happened that happened with him and his family later. What I'm trying to say is this: so the person who makes the time, the person who seeks after God, God will meet their need. Okay, so all right, so I'm gonna end by sharing this. Share this one last verse, and then I'm going to conclude, I promise. John chapter 6 from verse 26. So we read from verse 25 to verse 20 and from verse 25 to verse 29. Can someone read that to? Yeah, chapter 6, verse 25 to 29. You want to read it, Anna? You know, the sad thing that happens is that after God has met our needs, after God has provided certain things for us, we now begin to come and seek for God for those things, right? So there was a time when these people came and spent 3 days with Jesus just because they wanted Christ. And he provided food for them. But then there came a time now when they began to follow Jesus just to get the food, right? So that's what Jesus is saying here. I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw a miraculous sign, but because you ate loaves of bread and had your fill. Jesus knows why people are coming to him. He knows those who are coming to him because they want him. He knows those who are coming to him just because they're looking for something that he can give to them. Okay? And that is a sad thing. It has to be that we come to God not because of what he's going to give to us, but because of he himself, especially not for the material things and the earthly things that he can provide. And so Jesus tells them one thing: do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has put a seal of approval. You can, in other words, you can try to look for satisfaction. You can come to God so that God will give you success, that God will give you something for your life, that God will give you money, God will give you healing, God will give you satisfaction or whatever. But Jesus said, work for food that is not earthly. Work for food that endures, which only Jesus Christ is going to give to us. I don't care who you are, I don't care how much money, whatever thing you have. The truth is, like we were singing today, at the end of the day, we can chase 1,000 things, but at the end of the day, what our hearts need, what our hearts are longing for, whether you know it or not, what your heart is longing for is Jesus Christ. Your heart is longing, just like your stomach longs for physical food, the human heart longs for food that only Jesus Christ can give. And so we have to turn to him. And so the people ask him, but what are the works? What are the things that we're supposed to do so we can get this everlasting bread? God said the work is to believe. The work is to put our faith and our trust in God. The person who comes to God and says, Lord, I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to seek after you in a serious way. And I'm going to trust you for my need. I'm going to trust you for my forgiveness. I'm going to trust you to forgive the guilt of my sin. I'm going to trust you to forgive my past. I'm going to trust you to bring healing to my heart. I'm going to trust you to meet my needs. to give me the job I need, or whatever. The person who puts their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ for their whole life and are actually seeking after Him above all things, to that person, God will give what satisfies. He will give them the food of heaven that satisfies the soul, and God will meet their need for the earthly things, as we've read. The truth is that either people never give God the time to show them His compassion in their lives, or the truth is that people coming to God, but they're coming to Him not primarily to know Him and to find Him. They're coming to Him for what they can get out of Him. And that is sad. The truth is that with both of those, we go away with nothing, right? With either of those, we're going to come away empty-handed. I want to encourage you. What my message today is to encourage you. Listen, God knows your needs. He knows He knows the things that you're longing for. He knows the things that you actually need. And if you would actually honor Him and take Him seriously, if you would actually take the time, like these people did, they spent 3 days with Jesus. And after 3 days, they didn't ask Him for a thing. He said that these people have been with me for 3 days. I don't want to send them without food. And He did a miracle to meet their needs. You take God that seriously, God is going to meet your need. They didn't even have to ask Him. He volunteered and He took the initiative. But on the other hand, watch out that along the way, you never become one of those people of whom Jesus says, I know why you're coming to me. It's just because you know I gave you food the other day and you want some more, right? That is sad. Let it be that we seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness as the priority. And God is going to be faithful to us and give us all the other things we need. Amen.